Again, welcome to Valley Brook and welcome to Communion Sunday. Communion Sunday is all about communion. Communion is not an attachment at the end of the message that we just go through. We've decided to be intentional about Communion Sunday, really focusing in on what communion is, and then taking the bread and cup together in culmination of our collective fellowship around the truth of what communion, the blessing that it is from above, so that we can fully partake and say thank you, Jesus. Today's message wraps up our series on walking with Christ, and it is titled simply, Walking in Remembrance of Him. Walking in remembrance of Him. Now, all 3 weeks of this series on walking with Christ, all three previous messages, I've given you 3 or 4 points. So be thankful, note takers. I did that just for you. But today the Lord has given me something, and it's something to say, and it doesn't want to be harnessed to that format. It resisted being harnessed to that format. So I'm just going to release the horses and let them run, and you'll have to corral them as best you can. But my notes will be available on our website, valleybrook.church, later on this evening. Our text, Luke chapter 22, verses 19 through 20. If you'll turn there in your Bibles, Luke 22, 19 through 20. Luke 22, verses 19 and 20. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Amen. I want to focus today on those 6 words in verse 19. Just those 6. You've got the context. Where I want to spend my time and where I want to direct your focus is to those 6 words, "Do this in remembrance of me." The communion table of my youth in the church that I grew up in was a big oak table that stood in front of the pulpit. And carved on that table right in front were those words, "Do this in remembrance of me." And I don't remember all about what the pastor said. It was a very sort of a mysterious thing, because they'd raise a sheet and he'd be behind there breaking stuff, and I didn't know what was going on. Then he passed the trays to the ushers, and the ushers would pass them with their white gloves and the cups, and all I knew is that I wanted that grape juice. What do I need to do to get some grape juice, Mama? Well, you need to be baptized. So one Sunday I went up, and, "You want to be baptized?" "Yes, I do." "Are you willing to be ruled and governed by the laws of church?" "Oh, yeah, yes, sir." Anything to get that communion. Anything to get that grape juice. And I am thankful today as I stand here that the Lord has given me a fuller understanding of those amazing words that were etched on that big communion table years and years ago in my youth. "Do this in remembrance of me." And yet, with all that I understand today, I'm still amazed, because there is so much more to it than I am able to grasp or articulate. That's why the horses were running wild this morning as I thought about how to put this in a form that would be able to be taken in notes. It's like, I'll give up. Because it's an amazing thing. Do this in remembrance of me. Hollywood stars, monuments, special days, street names, schools. How many schools were renamed John F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King after their respective assassinations? These are things that are done, and you know, even athletic facilities renamed after certain individuals, and they're done to honor those who have made significant contributions to mankind, to humankind. Well, the Lord requested that we honor him. Do this in remembrance of me. Another way of saying that is do this in honor of me. Do this in honor of me. And he requested that we do this by taking the bread and the cup together. And that is one reason why I often say if you're going to miss one Sunday, don't miss Communion Sunday. If you only have one Sunday a month to give to church, don't miss Communion Sunday. I want to explain a little bit more why that's so in today's message. So if you're taking notes, here is your main idea, and this is the best I could do for you, for you note takers. Here's the main idea. Remembering the Lord's death on our behalf renews and fortifies our trust in him. Remembering the Lord's death on our behalf renews and fortifies our trust in him. When we take communion, we're not just observing a ritual. When we take communion, we are remembering the Lord personally. He said, do this in remembrance of me, Jesus Christ. Do this in remembrance that I, Jesus, lived on earth, that I, Jesus, experienced humanity just like you, that I, Jesus, am not a myth, that I am real, that I became flesh and blood, and you see me here, remember that I walked among you. I am not the dead founder of a religion. I'm the living one who was dead and is now alive forevermore. Remember not just what happened to me. I'm not just asking you to remember what happened to me. I'm asking you to remember why I let it happen. Remember why I let it happen. Remember why I was not a victim, but that I was a volunteer. Remember why it happened. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's why it happened. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own free will. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. In other words, remember that I did this out of love for you. Do this because a time is coming when my name will be slandered. Do this because a time is coming when my name will be slandered. Wars will be fought in my name. Do this because my name will be abused in defense of slavery and other atrocious forms of oppression. Do this to keep a clear focus. Do this to keep your eyes on me. Do this so you don't get distracted by all the misrepresentations of why I came and what I'm about. Do this simple things. Sometimes I wonder if we should replace the crosses that we wear around our necks with bread and a cup. Because that's what he asked us to remember. Do this, because there will be the constant slandering that comes from the evil one who will use your own personal adversity, Roger. He will use your own personal adversity to undermine my love and try to drive a wedge between us. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this because the evil one relentlessly tries to vandalize your image of me with doubts about my love. Do this to extinguish his flaming arrows that he launches at your view of my character. Do this to kill the creeping doubts that he plants, that begin to grow in our minds like weeds. Do this because it's a weed killer. Communion is your weed killer. Do this in remembrance of me, of Jesus. Let all the other stuff fall away and turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Do this in remembrance of me. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Romans 8:32 tells us. If he would give me his son, why would he hold out on me for the lesser things that I'm asking for? The lesser things that I'm asking for. And believe me, compared to his only son, everything we ask for is a lesser thing. If the bank would open the vault and let you have all the most precious contents, why would they want to withhold a stapler from you that you're trying to take off the desk? This is what he's saying. You look around the world and everything you are asking for is less than what I've given you. And so it doesn't make any sense that I would withhold anything lesser that is for your good, that is in your best interests, that fits my glorious purposes for you and my eternal purposes. Do this in remembrance of me and what I've done and why I did it. So do this and remember the real deal. And don't be faked out by false misrepresentations, by false representations. Do this in remembrance of the truth despite appearances. Do this so you're anchored in the truth despite appearances. Do this and remember it's the fulfillment of my words to my servant, the prophet Jeremiah, to whom I spoke these words in chapter 32, verse 40. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them, and I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. Do this in remembrance of my new covenant. Do this to help you remember me on your best day, Grace. And do this to help you to remember me on your worst day. Do this and remember my love for each of you personally. as well as my love for my church collectively. Remember me so you will love each other as I have loved you. Make it personal. I like that song, This Time It's Personal. This time it's personal. This is what Jesus' appeal is. When he says, do this in remembrance of me, he's saying, make it personal, John. Don't think of some nebulous thing out there, this nebulous religion, or somehow that you got to tap into the spiritual universe or the forces and all of that, and you got to have a particular mantra, or you got to have all of that stuff going on, or you need to be able to do this and do that. No, do this in remembrance of me. And he said this to his disciples, I'm sitting here with you, me, Jesus, the one you've walked with for 3 years. Do this and remember me personally. And don't let all the other stuff distract you. Don't let all the other stuff derail you. I'm not asking you to remember Christian principles. Do this and remember Christian principles. No. I'm not asking you to remember Christian values. I'm not asking you to remember Christian morality. I'm not asking you to remember your Christian duty. I'm asking you to remember me. Remember my love for you as demonstrated by the breaking of my body and the shedding of my blood. And guess what? The rest of these things... The rest of these things will take care of themselves. But if you go running off tracing the rest of those things, you could very easily lose me. And very much Christianity then becomes a code of ethics instead of remembering me. You remember me and the rest will take care of itself. You forget me and go after all this other stuff and you'll bog down. You'll burn out. You'll give up. Do this and remember my love for you and remember my love for my church. And by this, all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another as I have loved you. So do this in my honor. Do this in my honor. Communion is a time to reset. It's a time to refocus. And it's a time to remember our forever loved status with God and why we have it. It's a time to remember that it's not dependent upon the man who wills or runs or works, but on God who has mercy. That we are forever favored because of him. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this and remember that my love for you never fails or wavers. You might have read the Just a Moment piece that I put out on Friday that I want to remind you of in this context this morning. Unlike some of our experiences with people where we've either been the victim or we've been the perpetrator, the Lord does not take our devotion to him as a sign of weakness or as an opportunity to take advantage of us. On the contrary, he is the one who initiated our love relationship with him. He started the whole thing going by putting himself totally out there. He put himself totally out there. We love because he first loved us, the scripture says. When he gave up his life for us, it was literally naked love. He was crucified in the nude with humiliation dripping all over his body. He held nothing back, love that hid nothing and held nothing back. And I love what Flamina said in her comments. She said, love that was unpretentious and love that was unconditional. And we could continue to add adjectives until we run out of them because it's unfathomable love. Absolutely confounding and astounding love. And today, all day and every day, He continues to woo a weary world to his continual forever love. A world that in large part continues to ignore and despise it. He is the one being taken for granted, not us. If there's any taking for granted that's going on, if there's any abusing of the love, it's on our part, not his. He already said, look, I'm putting it all out there. I got nothing else to give. This is it. I've emptied the bank. I've opened the vault. I've given you everything to demonstrate my love for you. And I continue to extend my arms on your worst days when you doubt it. I continue to extend my love when you reject it. I don't curl up in a little ball and run if anybody is being taken advantage of. It's me. And he has chosen to put himself out there. Why does he love us so? We'll never fully know. We'll never fully understand. We'll never be able to fully grasp it, so we must simply resign ourselves to just saying thank you. And then, per his request, directing ourselves to loving each other in his honor. That's what he asked. Remember me and love one another. Something to be thankful for and something to take just a moment to consider this Thanksgiving weekend. So I wrote that on Friday. My Spartans won this past week. Yesterday. And Coach Mel Tucker said a few weeks ago, he said, you know, and he's talking about winning. He said, when you win, you get texts from everybody. Emails from everybody. Phone calls from everybody and everywhere. When you lose, you might get a call from your mama. He would know because a couple weeks ago they got thrashed and then yesterday they won. And that's how it is with us. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. Sometimes we're victorious and sometimes we're on the other end of a defeat or a setback. But as I said last week, the Lord is not a fair weather fan. He is with us in it, through it, and as long as it's going on, he's there. Why? Who knows? Do this and remember my love is perfect. That means you never have to have, you never have any reason to fear how I'm going to treat you. Did you hear what I said, Don? I said you never have to have any fear revolving around how I am going to treat you because perfect love drives out fear. And my love is perfect. If fear is part of the equation in your mind of our relationship, that is not an equation that I put there. That is not a factor that I entered into the equation. Because my love is perfect. And in Christ, my love casts out all fear. You never have a reason to fear, to be afraid or ashamed or skittish or embarrassed or any of those things to approach me because my love for you is perfect and perfect love casts out fear. You can find that reference in 1 John 4:18 because it puts the matter plainly. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. Communion reminds us to share the wealth. Do this in remembrance of me. And communion reminds us to share the wealth. For though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And we can say, Lord, let us be generous today with your riches. Let us today be generous with your riches. You've made us rich. Let us be generous today with your riches. Do this in remembrance of me and of our future together. A time is coming when we are all gathered in heaven, when Jesus drinks of the fruit of the vine with us and we'll experience the full celebration of the victory that he has won for us in all the splendor that God can create. And what do you suppose that will look like? Long time ago, folks put it this way, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. But do this in remembrance of me, because this simple celebration that you are partaking of and that we will be partaking of together today, this simple, regular, ordinary, common kind of a celebration that we're all used to, those of us who've had a lot of spiritual experiences, this is just a picture of that day when I will drink this with you. It won't be Pastor Dan standing up front. It'll be me. And I will break the bread. And I will pass the cup. And there will be multitudes upon multitudes upon multitudes upon multitudes whose lives have been touched by me, who will remember their salvation and remember their redemption and cast their crowns at my feet. And it will be a glorious, resplendent time together. Remember, this is just a picture of what's to come. So just remember, when you're passing that bread and that cup, sort of fast forward in your mind the way that I do sometimes when I'm looking at a couple that's about to get married at rehearsal. I fast forward to the next day when they're dressed in all of their wedding day finery. And I see, even in that moment when they're rehearsing in their blue jeans and their sweatshirts, I see the day coming, the next day when they are in all of their glory. And everyone is cheering. And everyone is celebrating. And that is what the Lord wants us to remember. I will drink this again with you, but not until I do so in my kingdom, where you will be with me. Do this, remembering that this is not where the big party is. Remember that this is just sort of a foretaste of glory divine. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And it's brilliant. It's brilliant. This is brilliant. This is brilliant, Jesus. What you did is brilliant. It is absolutely amazing when you think about it. Because love is the most powerful force in the universe. And the love of God is supreme love. And this is a representation. This is a symbol of supreme love. Do this in remembrance of me. We know what love is. And we know how love can turn us upside down and inside out and make us do crazy things. I remember my first girlfriend back in high school, actually junior high. first girl that really liked me, we met on summer vacation in Louisiana. When I was traveling from Michigan with my family to visit our relatives down there, we met and we fell in love in 2 days. And I remember when the week was up and it was time to go. And she was holding on to me and I was holding on to her and she was crying and I gave her my little tissue and she wiped her eyes with the tissue. I kept the tissue. Took it home with me. Put it in a jar. I didn't have anything fancy. And boy, did my brothers and sisters give me a hard time. I'm sorry to even remind you, Norm, because now you're going to bring it back up again. But I didn't care. I didn't care. They started singing that Gladys Knight song, "Take the Ribbon from My Hair." And was applying it to my tissue in the jar. And I'd like to say that I got better when I met Laverne. We didn't want to hang up. In fact, I remember going to sleep on the phone, and she just put the phone beside her. Because she knew if she hung up, I'd wake up and say, "Hey, where are you?" But boy, if you think I had it bad, my brother was worse. I mean, literally, he walked across town on crutches in a snowstorm to see his girlfriend. Love will make us do crazy things. And so this is brilliant on the Lord's part. See, you don't have to work on all the details of what you want somebody to do. You don't have to get into the jot and tittle and the do this and the don't this and all of the, you know, the rigmarole of trying to define and trying to capture a person's behavior when they are caught up in love. They'll do amazing things. The Lord is caught up in love for us. And that's why he does crazy stuff. He's out of his head in love with us. He does absurd stuff for us. You know why? Not because he has to. Because he's caught up in love for us. He's caught up in a love for us that the scripture says is beyond imagination. He's caught up in a love for us that even all those ridiculous things that I share, his love dwarfs them. In comparison. But it's never frivolous. It's always right on target. It's always perfect. It's not whimsical. It's not given to our tantrums. It's not given to our insistence upon something that he knows is not in our best interest. It is a strong, purposed, directed, firm, anchored, perfect love. It's solid. Do this in remembrance of him because our spiritual strength and vitality is directly proportionate to how attractive Christ is to us. Want to know where your spiritual strength comes from? It doesn't come from willpower, brothers and sisters. It doesn't come from your personal discipline, brothers and sisters. It doesn't come from accountability groups, brothers and sisters. Those things are helpful and they are good. But where the real strength comes from, where the real power and vitality, where the vivaciousness, where the attraction of the world, where all of that comes from, the love of Christ controls us. It is the love of Christ that powers us. And that's why this is brilliant. I want to take you back to me. I want to take you back to my love for you. And I want you to understand it and embrace it. Our love for Christ is always a response. to believing how affectionately attached he is to us. Our spirituality is always a response to our recognition of how affectionately attached he is to us. Do this in remembrance of him, and it will deepen your trust. And that's where we want to be. It will deepen our trust. It will anchor your soul in the Lord. Do this in remembrance of me, and it will anchor your soul in the Lord. It's an old classic. But when you think about it, and the reason I played it, when you think about it, you have a focal point for what that anchor is. Because it's not just a nebulous, my soul is anchored out there in something. My soul is anchored in, do this in remembrance of me. Because life will fake you out. Life will try to take you out. And the reason why the Lord has given us this, it's brilliant. Do this in remembrance of me, because this will anchor you in the truth. And the truth is, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And his love is unfathomable. So we're going to take some time now, and we're going to thank the Lord for the anchor that he's given us for our souls in the body and blood of Jesus Christ.